along with the message there. And aren't you glad that he sees? If you have your Bibles, please turn to Numbers chapter 22. We're not going to take time here tonight for testimonies, but I'm going to encourage you to next week come, maybe with a testimony, and we'll try and resume that. But especially with the Lord's Supper here tonight, we're going to make sure we have plenty of time for that as well. Numbers chapter 22, and beginning with verse number 27, as I promised here, my message tonight is on donkey school and going to donkey school. Notice in Numbers chapter 22 and verse number 27, the scripture says, "And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, Because thou hast mocked me, and I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now would I kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, Am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, Nay. Verse 31, Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam. Now, I tell you what, that is a strange story. In fact, one of the strangest in all of the Bible. But, you know, there are other strange accounts of donkeys. For instance, I thought I would show you a picture, and this is actually a real picture of donkeys on a small island just west of France, a small island called Ile de Ré. And wouldn't you know that the donkeys there every morning are dressed in pants? You say, why? Well, there's actually a reason. It goes back customarily, back many decades ago, when donkeys were brought to the island, and the donkeys were made to work in some of the salt marshes. And what's in all of those marshes? But mosquitoes, bugs. So what they did, very humanely, they decided, well, you know, we don't want to see our donkeys eaten up, you know, on their legs. So they covered them with pants. So if you, they don't work the salt marshes anymore. But if you go to this island, Ile de Ré, today the tourists love to see the donkeys in pants. That's strange. But a talking donkey? Oh, I'll tell you what, that tops it all tonight. Now, I want us to go to donkey school. And what I want us to do is I want us to learn, what about donkeys? What does the Bible teach? And what can we learn about donkeys? It's an amazing, amazing study. And tonight, I want us to go to donkey school. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I pray you'd bless as we tonight begin to just simply study some things about donkeys. And Lord, I pray you'd help each and every one of us to apply. Lord, realizing all of these are given even as examples for us around us, creation always magnifies you when we will seek to find the Creator in the creation. Lord, I pray you'd bless. You'd bless now our message tonight. Use it, I pray. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Well, how about donkeys in the Bible? You know, there's actually a lot I found when I began to just research and study this. Donkeys, of course, during the Bible days, even to this day, are mainly used for transportation or for carrying some things. And it's likely that many of the main Bible characters at one time or another would have ridden or used donkeys. Jesus probably did. Moses, we know many different characters. For instance, Job. The Bible tells us that Job's riches was in part calculated by donkeys. He had 500. That's a lot of donkeys. That's a lot of brain. In addition, we know, of course, about the story of Abraham. Abraham was told by God to take thy son Isaac and to take him and be willing to sacrifice him on Mount Moriah. Now, it's interesting in the Bible. The Bible tells us that Abraham rode a donkey. He went to Mount Moriah. Again, he's an old man. He's over 100, almost 130 years of age. And so he's probably riding on this donkey out of necessity. And we also know the story about Jacob. Jacob had to make peace with his brother Esau. And when he's returning home, the Bible tells us that he actually has a gift of some 30 donkeys. Now, by the way, you know, we sometimes, you know, say that, you know, those gift cards are not very personal, practical. But I'll tell you what, they don't make messes, if you catch my drift. But just imagine that. He said, here, brother, here's 30 donkeys. And so Esau took from his hand 30 donkeys. We know about the sons of Jacob, how that they traveled to Egypt on donkeys, and Moses and his wife and children ride on a donkey, in the story of Abigail, Abigail was that wife of Nabal, and Nabal, the churlish man, the very foolish man, he mistreated David, and of course it got them in some hot water. And so what did Abigail do? She used donkeys. The Bible said not only did she ride in a donkey, but she actually packed up many, many donkeys and caravan with food. Before there was Grubhub and before there was DoorDash, there were donkeys. That's how they got their food delivered. That's interesting when the Israelites entered the promised land, that there was a specific command that God told them, especially in relationship to the kings. This is found in Deuteronomy 17, 16. He said, don't multiply horses. Don't have lots of horses. And of course, we know that some of the kings disregarded that. Solomon, David, they had a lot of horses. But God said, don't multiply horses. Now, he said nothing, though, about donkeys. Now, why is that? It was okay to have as many donkeys as you wanted, but horses were used for military purposes, that they were used to fight. They'd ride on horses. They would have chariots pulled by horses. And so God was basically telling them, just trust me. Just don't try and, you know, the verse there in Psalm 20, some trust in horses and chariots, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Now, truly, donkeys are embedded in Bible stories. They're embedded everywhere. But there's one in particular that, of course, has our fancy and our interest, and that is the story of Balaam. And let's notice the picture here, Balaam and his talking donkey. What an amazing story that is. It's found in Numbers chapter 22. And we read a couple of verses, but the story basically prior to Israel's entering the promised land, there we've got the cartoon version there, but prior to their entering the promised land, the Bible tells us an enemy by the name of Balak, the king of Moab, that he wanted to curse Israel. And so he tried to hire a prophet, a man by the name of Balaam. Balaam is a prophet for hire. And even though God makes it very plain, you can't curse who I bless. I blessed Israel. I said I would. I would bless him that blesseth thee, curse him that curseth thee. And you can't curse Israel. But even though that was the case, Balaam was greedy and Balaam wanted some money. And so he's blinded by greed. Now, what do we learn from donkey school? Several lessons, four of which I want to give to you tonight. What do we learn from donkey school? First of all, lesson number one, a donkey has a vision for safety. You know, it's interesting in the story of Balaam. Balaam is blind spiritually. He's blind. He cannot see. He cannot see what the donkey sees. The donkey actually has vision. In the story of Balaam, there are three times where God sends the angel of the Lord and sends the angel of the Lord with a sword. That's bad. That means God says, no, God is going to judge if you go any further. And three times we read this phrase in the story, verses 23, 25, and 27, and the ass saw the angel of the Lord. Now, the donkey saw, but what about Balaam? He was blind. Now, here's something you should know. Donkeys are amazingly created by God to have a special perception. It is a fact that donkeys will never go where it's unsafe. That they just won't. That they'll never get involved in an activity. If there's ever an unsafe condition, they will stop. Now, by the way, that is why we sometimes give them, I think, maybe a bad rap when we say that donkey is stubborn. No, I'll tell you what, the donkey is stubborn when it comes to safety. That they just will not do anything unsafe. By the way, I think we could use a little bit of that. To be honest, we take way too many risks, especially spiritually. But we take many risks. You know, I want to, by the way, just say something, especially to you young people that are here tonight. And I appreciate it. I'm so glad we've got kids, we've got teenagers. But listen, young people, I want you to understand, when you see a pastor or you see mom and dad digging in their heels and saying no, such as a time like right now, it is for your benefit, it's for your safety. You know, when you hear a Brother McKinney get up and just simply challenge on consecration from a song, it's for your benefit. Why? Because, listen, there's some things here that are non-negotiable. And we need to dig our heels in when it comes to some foundational errors. For instance, let me just mention a couple here tonight, just so you know where I'm going, even with this thought. But for instance, statement number one, God established marriage, and marriage is between one man and one woman. No debate. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the surveys. I don't care if the majority disagree. God is right. That settles it. That's it. Marriage is settled. It's settled in the Bible. Now, how about this one here? There are two distinct genders. The Bible says God made them male and female. Now, I think I even heard that society has come up with as many as, I can't even believe this, 112 different options now. Well, that's 110 too many. God said there are two, male and female. Now, how about this one here? Homosexuality is a sin, and it contradicts God's purposes. Now, I'm making these statements. These statements, really, they ought to be bread and butter. They ought to be just simply established. Well, yes, of course. Why? Because God says so. But it seems like, again, we are going down some dangerous paths. Society is, and I'm just simply saying, it's time to dig in the heels and say no more. We don't need to go where God says it's unsafe, it's wrong. How about this one here? God established the home, the traditional home, one with a mommy and a daddy in it, and children, a picture of a holy and happy family of God. Again, these are things that are being challenged today, sadly. How about this one here? God established the church, a church to be a pillar of truth. As Brother McKinney reminded us, to preach the gospel, to tell the world about Jesus Christ. God established the church. You know, there are a lot of folks today just don't think the church is important. They have devalued one of the main foundations that God has provided. And you even see the way the people treat Sunday and the way the people treat the Word of God. They just don't have the reverence, the respect they once had. I'm just simply saying it's time to dig the heels in and say no. I love what Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's why it's so important we have a ministry for men, and we get the men. Why? Because you get the men, you're going to get the wives and the children primarily. We need to have a ministry that stands where God stands. How about this one here? God established human government to be guided by righteous standards, a government as designed in the Bible by God. And God is the author of human government. After all, there were no humans until God created. But when he created human government, he didn't create it to be a bureaucracy. He created it to be a limited government, one that did not infringe upon the freedoms that we enjoy, the freedom to worship, the freedom to love, to serve, to speak, to defend ourselves and our family. Limited government suits a fallen people. Now, why do I say that? It suits a fallen people because the Bible warns us about an overgrown government, that technically that is where we are headed, where all of a sudden government basically controls you and takes away all of your rights and freedoms. That is unbiblical. Again, I'm just simply saying that these things, that's why I think it's important that we have what we've been doing with the teenagers, having the Truth Project and taught to them each and every week. It's amazing to me, I say this with sadness, it's amazing to me to hear how many Christians believe that communism, socialism, and Marxism are good things. They're not. They're against the Word of God. How about this one here? God created life, and life begins at conception. Again, I am surprised sometimes to find Christians who say, I am born again, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, but I believe that abortion is okay. I'm shocked whenever I hear that, but I'm hearing it more and more. Again, we need to stand where God stands and not go where it's unsafe. How about this one here? God redeemed us to be a holy people. 1 Peter 2 and verse number 9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It's amazing to me how little difference there is between people who say they are saved and the world. There's little difference. And it's sad. The words that come out of the unsaved are the same words that come out of the saved. So the entertainment is the same. They listen to the same music. They drink together. They party together. They're involved in immorality together. That they act like. They talk like. There's no difference. And yet God said there should be a difference. You are a holy people. That means separated. Brother McKinney was talking about that here tonight. Listen, when did you decide to consecrate yourself to God? God needs not part of us. He doesn't just simply need a Sunday, just our bodies being in church, but he needs our body being given to him and our minds and our hearts 24/7, 365. He needs us all the time. We need to heed the words of God through the Apostle Paul. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. What is different about you and the unsaved? Now, I say this because young people, it's not just simply the preacher and mom and dad being stubborn, but it's because there's danger. And that's why you go back to that donkey. That's why that donkey, if it gets to a cliff or some area where the donkey in the story saw the angel of the Lord with the sword drawn in his hand. Now that made, by the way, the donkey smart and the prophet dumb. Because that donkey was smart enough to see some things. Young people, trust your preacher. Trust mom and dad. That when we say, listen, this is dangerous. I don't think you ought to, be out at night and late at night and without accountability. I just don't happen to think that you ought to go to this activity, that activity. You need to trust them. That you need to trust them. I've told the story before, but when our son Jonathan was in high school, and one time after a game, after a basketball game, he said, Dad, he said, all of the guys are going to be going out. I think it was to Applebee's or someplace. He said, would you mind if I went with them? And I just looked at him and I said, and my thinking was, it's been a busy week. There's nothing wrong with him going out. But I just simply turned to him and I said, son, this time I think no. And you know what Jonathan did? Now, by the way, it's his birthday today. He's celebrating a birthday. But Jonathan looked at me and he said, okay. And he got in the car and went home with me. There's nothing sinful, nothing wrong about him going with the guys after a game. But I just happened to think maybe, more rest was needed or he's got homework or something else. And he deferred to his father. Now, young people, you one day are going to be in the shoes of your mom and dad. You're going to be the parents. And I say this kindly, but you might reap what you sowed. So if you were sort of the rebellious person and you were always giving them fits, guess what's going to happen when all of a sudden you have kids? You probably are going to struggle with your own children saying to you the same things they said that you said to your parents. I'm just simply saying we can learn from a donkey. Donkey has vision for safety. Why not be safe in our vision? Not only that, but lesson number two, a donkey also has ears. Ears. Have you ever noticed the donkey's ears? They're big. In fact, they're bigger in proportion. If you put side by side a horse and a donkey, which one has bigger ears in proportion to that face? It's the donkey. Big, long ears, right? Now, you know what? Donkeys actually are excellent listeners. I found this out. That the donkeys actually have a keen sense of hearing, so much so that if you have the perfect conditions in the desert where it's just simply flat and dry, a donkey can hear another donkey 60 miles away. That's good ears. That's perceptive. They can hear another donkey. I think the story that reminds me about listening is the story in the Old Testament of young Samuel. When the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 3 that Samuel was called, and he was called at a very young age, at a time when hearing the Word of God was rare. The Bible says the Word of the Lord was precious. That means rare in those days. And there was no open vision. When God could not speak to a priest by the name of Eli, he came to a boy by the name of Samuel, and he spoke. And Samuel heard. In fact, Eli even had enough sense when he got woken up three times to say, listen, I think that's God speaking. Listen, I'd encourage you next time that you hear God speak, just simply say these words, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. It's interesting the construction of that phrase. It doesn't just simply mean I hear, but it has the idea I hear and I am willing to obey. You ever been out to a good restaurant, one where you have good service? You know, a good waiter, a good waitress at a restaurant is one who is perceptive. That they notice when your glass is empty. They notice when all of a sudden the food is done and your plates need to be cleared. They notice when you're getting ready, you need to leave. That they attend to you and they are perceptive. They are listening, and when you even give them instructions or ask questions when you are ordering, they are so good with the hearing that they can even hear and even offer you what you sometimes cannot even describe with your own mouth. They're very good at that. Good waiters, good waitresses. You know, that's exactly what we have here. We have a donkey who was a good listener. He was a, and we don't know, by the way, if he was listening to God in particular, but it is true that when Balaam, now Balaam, by the way, he was, he's just hard-headed, that he is intent on going, he wants to get the money, but all of a sudden, when this donkey collapsed underneath him, this man Balaam began to yell and scream and really abuse. He was a donkey abuser. And the Bible says that God opened the donkey's mouth. And the donkey said, "What have I done? Why have you hit me these three times?" And Balaam goes off on this tangent saying, "Well, you mocked me," which is really ridiculous to think that a donkey is literally laughing and mocking. And I don't know if he was braying or what he was doing. But Balaam was so mad that he said, "If I had a sword, I would kill you." The donkey was listening. He was seeing. He was paying attention. He had discernment. Balaam did not. That brings us to lesson number three. A donkey humbly bears under a load. You know, the donkey is actually a great picture of servanthood because the donkey bears a load. Notice what the donkey reminded Balaam of. Verse number 30, "And the ass said unto Balaam, Am not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, Nay." From the ancient times, donkeys have been known to be excellent workers. And here's why. There's a couple of differences. For instance, did you know the donkeys, unlike horses, do not freak and do not bolt when all of a sudden they become startled? In fact, actually, it is in the nature of a donkey that if it gets startled, it will inspect and find out what is startling it. It will actually look. A horse, on the other hand, you know this, a horse gets startled, some kind of noise, some kind of sight. All of a sudden, that horse, it freaks out. All of a sudden, it begins to gallop. All of a sudden, it begins to stampede or something. Donkeys don't do that. In addition, donkeys have excellent memories. I found this out that they studied donkeys and found that donkeys actually have memories that sometimes they can remember a place they visited 25 years earlier and they can return, have good directions. Directions remembering 25 years, that is a good memory. That is why many times in some of these work environments, donkeys are pack animals that their owners can literally train them and they don't have to give them any instruction, just simply put the load on them and the donkey knows where to go. They pay attention. By the way, have you been paying attention this year? How many times have you heard God speak? How many times have you read your Bible? How many lessons have you learned? Have you remembered them? I guarantee you, some of us, we can't even remember what we heard this morning, what we heard last week, what we heard today. You know, some of you can't even remember, you know, what you heard maybe at the beginning of the message. The point is this, donkeys are incredible. They bear under a load. But in addition, they are stable on all kinds of terrain. They are sure-footed. That is why, again, with that careful attitude, you never see pictures of donkeys stumbling, falling. They always manage. In fact, they're just suited for the work, and they do the work well. But one more thing, and that is this, they are humble. You know, Jesus rode on a donkey. I want you to take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter number 19 on what we typically call Palm Sunday, the Sunday before Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. That Sunday, Jesus came to present himself to Israel. And how did he come? He didn't come on a steed, a stallion. He rode on a donkey. Notice we read in Luke 19, verse 28, "And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount, called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, and whereon yet never man sat, loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. Now Jesus had gone to Jerusalem many times. He had walked mostly, but undoubtedly he might have ridden another animal. But on this particular occasion, there's a reason why he rides on a donkey. Number one is a precedent. Kings as far back as Solomon and David rode on donkeys. David, to make sure that everybody knew that his son Solomon was chosen to be the king, had Solomon ride on his own donkey through the streets. But there's another reason, and that is this. Donkeys are humble just simply by this fact. They're low to the ground. And I don't know if you've ever done horseback riding, but it sure does depend how tall that horse is. You know, some of those horses, I mean, they're so tall that you try and get your foot in the stirrup, and I mean, you have to contort yourself that you need maybe a ladder to try and get up to that horse. But not so with the donkey. It's low to the ground. You see, a donkey was the perfect picture for Christ, the meek and lowly Savior who entered this world to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, one last lesson number four, and that is a donkey is highly protective. Interesting about donkeys. Now, we read about the donkey of Balaam, of course, protecting Balaam. Balaam should have said thank you to that donkey. Instead, he mistreated him. But did you know that, you know, of the sons of Jacob, that one of the sons of Jacob, Issachar, was actually likened to a donkey? It says in Genesis 49:14, Issachar is a strong ass couching down between two burdens. An ass is a donkey. And one of the things that's interesting about that is that donkeys are highly protective. In fact, many shepherds have figured this out, that if they are worried about predators like wolves, they are worried about predators, you know, like, you know, some coyotes or some kind of an animal, what they do is they put a bunch of donkeys among the sheep. And here's why. Those donkeys will kick. And brother, when they kick, you lose your teeth and everything. Therefore, they have found actually a cheap way of protecting their sheep is just simply put some donkeys. And the wolves, many times, they'll stay away because they don't want to get kicked. And they know that those donkeys, they're just highly protected, and they're very efficient. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that, listen, we need to also be protective of some things. We need to protect each other. You know, I think this is a good time to reflect here upon the church and just simply about the brotherhood and that just simply about looking after each other. And you do a pretty good job about that. But I'm just encouraging you that the donkey actually teaches us that characteristic. Now, that we've been to donkey school tonight. So in review, what did we learn? We learned that, number one, a donkey has vision. Do you see some things? Secondly, a donkey has big ears. He hears some things. Are you listening to God? Number three, a donkey humbly bears under a load. Now, are you carrying the load that God wants you to carry? And finally, a donkey protects. God help us to be just like the donkey. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. Donkey school. We can learn an awful lot. You know, I feel like, again, that we sometimes are just not realizing all of the lessons that are around us in the Bible, the donkey, embedded in many stories, but the story we read tonight was of a prophet that needed to learn some lessons. Now, have you had eyes seeing? Have you had ears hearing? Have you been bearing the load? And are you protecting what God needs you to protect? Moms and dads, tonight, you need to be donkey-like. You need to protect your kids. You need to protect them now more than ever before. I certainly physically, but I'm talking about spiritually tonight. going to donkey school, we learn so many valuable lessons. Let's all stand, and Valerie's going to play. Maybe you need to come tonight and just simply consecrate yourself to be like a donkey of all things. Yes, we can learn from a donkey. Balaam should have. We should as well. Going to donkey school, we learn many things.